Well, I welcome you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for joining in again today, brothers and sisters. I'm so honored that to be around true, genuine brothers and sisters that mean business and studying God's Word and minding the Lord. It could be with anybody. It could be with any study. It could be on your own study, and it's still the same honor, and it's still the same pleasing the Lord. The Lord even spoke of going and praying to Him in a closet, you remember. If you do it in a closet, if you're doing it right in the closet, then you're doing it right in public. And if you're doing your studying in private, which you probably are if you're doing it with these, sitting there same as I am, you're listening to some kind of device and I'm speaking into one, but we're both, our spirits are studying the same, and we're in unity, and that's a wonderful thing. And it's all around and because of the Word of God, of God's Word, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to do, is get it back into our study today and try to grind through this study that we've been in here. And not to say, you know, it's just not anything good to talk about. It's sin. And that's what we're studying, studying about sin. Study number 19B, and it's the third study in the letter S. I want to remind you of something. I try to do that every, I don't know, three or four or five. I don't know. You've been through these ABCs. You know how many times I try to remind. It's not often, but I have a website now. I don't know if y'all know that, but it's called Barnhouse Ministries. And that's all it's there for, is just for study. And that's all it is, that's all there is to study on there, is the Word of God. I think in the menu there might be, I don't know, four, five, six different classes now that you can go through. And some of the classes are some of the classes, the homework class, takes about 2 years to go through, and that's studying God's Word, word by word, and it's got all the paperwork there, and it's all the same format, and you go over chapter by chapter, and all you do is read God's Word and fill in the blank, and you learn. And also have the ABCs of Christian Growth, what we're talking about right now. We have the Alpha and Omega study. We've got the all support studies, which is side studies that I picked up from studying these larger studies, and just kind of threw them in there for just, it's like a devotional study, something that you'd want to do in a one sitting kind of thing. But lots of studies there on Barnhouse Ministries, and I've got some other interesting things that talk about. It's all Christian, it's all brothers and sisters business that's on there, and if you're interested in going there, you can get anything that you want from there. I've made it available on there. It's absolutely free, and you can go. If you've got a printer, you can download every bit of this material and have it right sitting in front of you on your desk, and you ain't got to write it down. It's already written down for you. And as we go along in these studies, these scriptures, you can fill in the blank. And then you're not only studying by hearing, and you're studying by seeing, because you have it on paper right there, but you're also studying by writing it. And that's three different types of study that you're getting at one time. And it matters. It matters. It does. Today we're going to get into another category of sin. The first thing that we're going to start on is consequences of sin among the unsaved. Among the unsaved. Now, I want to just say, brothers and sisters, I don't know if there's anybody out there, and all you brothers and sisters that are born again, and you know what I'm talking about when I say born again. You've believed on Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your Savior, and you have, the Holy Ghost has miraculously come inside your body and started living in you, and has been making changes ever since. I don't know when you was born again, and most of us don't know the exact time that the regeneration took place, but we know all the evidence of it. I can't tell you the exact time that God the Holy Ghost entered me. All I can tell you is that he's there, and changes started happening right away. And I wasn't the one that was making them. The Lord was helping me and started, and he's been helping me ever since, and you can testify that too. Now, there's other studies that have to do with that. In salvation, for instance, the assurance of salvation talks about regeneration, and there's all kinds of study. I mean, just it's there. And brothers and sisters, if you got any questions about anything, I want you to know that I have an email there at Barnhouse Ministries. It's called Brother Thurman at BarnhouseMinistries.com. And just email me. And if you got any questions, or maybe you can answer some questions for me. I'm not so smart, and you already figured that out. I'm not so smart that I don't get truth from anybody else. I'm learning too, brothers and sisters. But the things that the Lord has taught me already, I love sharing them. And I want to share them because there's so many lies and so much deceit in the world and in the atmosphere, the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world are confusing everything, and people can't find the truth. Used to, they could see the light go by. Now it's the devil's darkening things up so much, and they already live in darkness. They're walking in darkness that it's hard for them to even see a Christian when a Christian goes by and tell when they've been illuminated by God, the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit. And as they don't see the light to come to. That's why we let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And we perfect that, and we do, and we hone in on our being a bright light by doing exactly what we're doing right now. So consequences of sin. Listen, if there's somebody out there listening to this and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope that you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? The Lord Jesus Christ has done everything to make sure that you can stay alive for eternity. You're going to die one day. Your flesh is going to die, that body's going to die, and that soul back behind your eyes, you are going to come out of that body and you're going to go somewhere. You're going to go one of two places according to the scriptures, either hell or heaven, one or the other. That's it. That's it. That's all the Bible says. Now, there's no reason for you to die and go to hell. The Lord's made every provision for you to go to heaven, and all you have to do is believe the scriptures. You ain't got to do nothing. Now, let me tell you what the scripture says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, God said that. He said it to you. He said it to whosoever. He said that if thou, you, shalt confess with thy mouth, your mouth, and believe in thine heart, as much as you can in your heart, as much as you can, believe by faith that what God is telling you is true, and you choose to believe it, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he did what he said he did. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Confess it with your mouth. Confess the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt be saved. The Lord said he'd save you. And the Lord doesn't give out temporary life
give out temporary life. He gives out eternal life.
If you want to live and you want eternal life, Jesus Christ has made the way, and he's left us a record of it in our Bible that we're studying right now, that is his word that he says is alive and lives. His word lives because it speaks to our spirits. It speaks to what is real. It speaks to truth. And you know there's something wrong with you. We're talking about sin in these studies, and you know that there's something wrong with you. You might not admit it, and some of you, if you're a Christian, you should admit it. You know, one of the things that shows that you're getting more mature is that you quit arguing with yourself about how no good you are.
Yeah. You start accepting that truth that there's nothing good in you. You say, but I do good, but I do. Yeah, but there's nothing good in you. As much, the closer you get to the Lord and you get to the brightness of His glory, the closer you get to Him and the closer you walk to Him, the more you find out what God says is true about you and that you do need Him. And you need His ways and you need His holiness. We need everything the Lord's told us that we need. And He's right. And where we go against His word, we're wrong. That's just it. Who are you going to trust to give you eternal life? Do you know anybody else that can give you eternal life? There's been plenty of people say. There's been people buried with their telephone and say they're going to call, and there's people been, after they die, they freeze their bodies, and the Egyptians, they, you know how they did, they would stuff in their carcasses, and they're still there, you know. The worms still get to you. It might take them a few more years. But them souls are somewhere, just like God said. And God's been very gracious and very kind to us to give us His Word all down through history and give us His Word. And now we have the complete Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we can study everything. There's been Christians before us wasn't able to do that. But we can, and that's what we're doing. But if you're not born again, I plead with you to accept Jesus Christ today. You don't have to, there doesn't have to be any kind of theatrical stuff. While we're studying this study and you're listening, you can speak to the Lord in your heart and tell Him, Lord, I believe you. I believe what Brother Thurman's saying from your word, that your word says that if I call upon your name and I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, that you'll save me. Well, I believe, and that's my choice. I choose by faith to believe you, Lord, and I believe on Jesus Christ, and I accept Him as my Savior, and I'm asking you to save me and see what happens. Go ahead. The Lord said, try Him. Try Him. Wouldn't you like to have eternal life and to know and to be able to walk around not worrying about dying anymore? Dying is scary. I hate death. I've got a couple messages on death and what the Bible teaches about death, and you can find that in the ABCs of Christian Growth. I hate death, and so does the Lord. The Lord calls it an enemy. He says the last enemy to be destroyed is death, and there'll be no more death. Won't that be wonderful? Nobody dies? That'd be tremendous, won't it? Well, these are promises that the Lord's given us. I don't know why I got sidetracked, or I don't think it was sidetracked. I think it was perfect. If you're listening to this, you accept Jesus as your Savior today and quit fooling around with this thing. Because, brother, if you die and you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you die as an enemy of God under the wrath of God, and you're going to pay the consequences for it. Because God's made every provision for you. Say, quit trying to scare me, Brother Thurman. I ain't trying to scare you. Oh, well, yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. I'm trying to give you God's word and what God says. Listen, challenging the Lord is a scary thing. And when you decide that you think you're going to try to get to heaven or stay alive any other way than what God has done for you, giving His Son up to suffer in your place, you're insulting the Lord, and you're going to pay for it for eternity. You don't have to, though. The Lord's made a way. If you'll take Him, He'll take you. Amen. All right, consequences of sin among the unsaved. What it's going to cost you. What your sin's going to cost you as an unsaved person. What does the Bible say? Well, first thing that is a consequence of sin among the unsaved is blindness. We just got through talking about that a minute ago. Maybe the Lord planned that for us. Talking about blindness. They're walking in darkness, the Bible says, in this world. They can't just stop and think about God and think about truth because there is no truth in them. They're children of their father, the devil. They're walking in darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 through 4. Listen to this. Therefore, seeing we have the ministry, this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The first thing we find that is a consequence of being unsaved, consequences of sin among the unsaved. It is a sin not to accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, and not to believe the Word of God and not to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sin. And the first thing is blindness. You'll walk in blindness. And if you're listening to this and you're unsaved and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you just heard me give you the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to get saved, then this applies to you. You're walking in blindness. You can't understand spiritual things like the Lord wants you to until you're born again. Because when you get born again, it's your spirit that is quickened. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit. Your spirit is dead, and you're blinded to the things of God if you're not born again. The consequences of sin among the unsaved, the first thing is blindness. The Bible says also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Big difference there. Polarity. One person is lost. One person is saved. One person thinks the things of God are foolishness. One person thinks the things of God and the Word of God is the power of God. And it is. It's blindness. The Bible says you're blind. Says you can't see the truth. And when the truth is presented to you and the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shines on you and you see it, you better take it and you better run after it and accept Jesus as your Savior. What else is a consequence of sin among the unsaved? Well, servitude. They can't serve the Lord. They can't serve God. There's a lot of religions and this and that and whatever anybody, any human being can make up to serve their idolatry and to please their flesh and still get their way and get their sin and all that and claim that they're serving God and call it Christianity or call it Christendom or call it religion. There's a lot of that. And a lot of people pretend to serve God. And a lot of people are blinded and think that they're serving God when they're serving the enemy. Because they're not reading the scriptures and seeing what lines up with the book. You see, if you want to know what God thinks, you have to go where God has put his mind. And his mind is in that book. What God said, what God wants you to know about his thinking and about his person is found in the book that we're studying right now, his word. And if you want to know, that's where you find out, just like what we're doing right now. Servitude. You can't serve God and not be born again. You can't serve the Lord Jesus Christ in genuine servitude or sincerity as far as truth and purity as far as serving the Lord like he says to serve, as he is God. You're serving a God, but not the God. Servitude. Oh, let me explain to you. John chapter 8 and verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." If you're servitude, you can't serve the Lord, and you can't serve holiness, and you can't serve righteousness, because you've not been born again. You don't have any righteousness in you. You might have self-righteousness, but you don't have true righteousness of God the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ's righteousness placed on your account. All you have is the flesh and a lost soul. You can't properly serve the Lord. What else? Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, listen. It says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Servitude. What are we talking about? We're talking about consequences of sin among the unsaved. What it costs you. It costs you blindness. It costs you genuine servitude, because unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been born again, you're in God's family and in part of the bride, you can't serve God because you don't know him and he don't know you. And you have to serve sin. If you don't accept the truth, you have to believe a lie. What else? Irreconcilable. A consequence of sin is irreconcilability, I guess you would say it. Let me explain it to you. 2 Timothy, or let the Word of God explain it to you. In 2 Timothy and chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." Does that sound like servants of God? "Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." You can't get things reconciled between you and the Lord if you are unsaved. And a consequence of that is that you cannot reconcile with the Lord. You're blind. You're serving the wrong things, and you cannot reconcile the problem that's between you and God. Consequences of sin among the unsaved. We're talking about sin. That's what we're studying. Because of sin, you cannot reconcile to the Lord if you're unsaved, unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. What else? Well, another consequence of sin for the unsaved is death. You're going to die. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages," that's the payment that you get for something, "the wages of sin is death." Because you sin, you're going to die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God could have went into a great detail right there and just confused everything, but he made it very simple. The wages of sin, a consequence of sin, is death. You're going to die. They're going to put your body in that grave and your soul's going somewhere to hell if you're unsaved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know why people wouldn't be jumping to that. Wait a minute. The wages of sin is death? Well, I know people die. That's one thing I can sure know for true. There's been, you know how many people have died that have lived in a body on this planet? Every one of them. Except for the few that the Lord miraculously, but he's God, he can do anything. But if you're a human being and you're living in the body, you're going to die. And every other one in the past has died. That's one thing that you don't have to wonder about or have to have proof about. People die. A consequence of sin among the unsaved is that you're going to die. The Bible says in Ezekiel, even in the Old Testament, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." It don't get any plainer than that, does it? Consequences of sin among the unsaved. Blindness. Servitude is messed up. Irreconcilability. You cannot reconcile with the Lord. You can't reconcile spirituality. You can't reconcile anything that has to do with God or your future as far as how you're going to stay alive and death. You can't figure out how to stay alive. Why do you think people running to and fro on this earth and going nuts? I mean, just go out there and park and go sit on one of them curves beside a thoroughfare and sit there and watch people in the middle of the city coming up. Go to a four-way intersection, sit on a bench and watch the cars there. There's people going nuts, man, going here, going there, going up, going down, going left, going right, and just going from thing to thing to thing to thing. And that's all the stuff that's in between. That's the mark that's in between your birthday and your death day. That's your life. It's a dash between your birthday and your death day. And somewhere in that dash, if you are presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you deny it, when that death day comes, it's going to be too late. That's just what the Bible says. There is such thing as too late. Consequences of sin among the unsaved. Blindness, servitude, irreconcilable, death. What else? Losing your soul. We just got through reading that in Ezekiel. The Lord says, "All souls are mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die." Not only does your body die, but your soul goes to hell, which is called the second death, and then ends up in the lake of fire for eternity. Now, is that the sweet, generous, kind, loving, caring Jesus that the world presents? And granted, everything I just mentioned is exactly what the Lord and more that we can't even get in our minds how kind the Lord is and how generous and how his grace and everything that's good about him. But they fail to tell you about the side of God that's wrath and justice and holiness, and that he is a judge, a righteous judge. And if you deserve it, you're going to get it. Losing your soul. Matthew chapter 16. "And when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, God in the flesh was walking around on this earth. He was speaking words to people and telling people things." Matthew chapter 16 verse 26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world. Remember I talked about people running to and fro in the intersection, just going here and there and up and down, left and right, trying to find out how to stay alive. The Bible says, all that a man hath, he'll give for his life. Well, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's what everybody's running around for. This world's gone nuts, man. You have one of two things. Either you are searching and driving yourself mad trying to find out what the Lord has already offered you and what you can gain or what you can earn to give for your soul to stay alive, or you've gone off the deep end and went off with the idiots, and you have singed your conscience, and you've scorched it with a hot iron, and you can't even feel good and bad anymore. And you just decided that you're going to go nuts, and you're going to go there on purpose. The Lord's got the answer for everything. Everything. And all you got to do is start at the beginning. What's the beginning? Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, why did the Lord say that? You know, if what he said is not true, he was, and I mean this respectfully to the Lord, and he knows it, but he was a stuck-up, self-centered, telling everybody that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and you can't get to God but just through him. If he wasn't telling the truth, man, he was some kind of stuck-up, wasn't he? Stuck on himself, wasn't he? But he was telling the truth, and he is telling the truth, and I can testify to that because he saved me. I'm on my way to heaven because of him. And you can be too. And if you are going to heaven, then you ought to buckle down and start doing something for the Lord and get your mind off of the stinking world because it's going to burn. Losing the soul. That's a consequence of sin among the unsaved. If you sin, now you say, well, why? What do you mean unsaved? Well, there's a difference in consequences of sin among the unsaved and consequences of sin among the saved. There's a difference. Yeah. Aren't you glad? Death. Irreconcilable. Servitude. Blindness. Losing the soul. What else? Well, condemnation. A consequence of sin, if you're unsaved, is that you're going to be condemned. You're already condemned. But you'll physically, you are spiritually, and you're just as good as in hell as being there right this second. People ought to be running to what the Scripture says and begging God to save them. This lackadaisical attitude and it's not so important. Let's just all get together. And Jesus loves everybody no matter what religion you're in and no matter what Bible you read and no matter the... Yeah? Where does this say that? Chapter and verse. Show me in the Bible where Jesus loves everybody. How can Jesus love everybody and condemn them at the same time? Listen, where Jesus Christ loved everybody, for instance, John 3:16, everybody knows that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't mean he loves you now. That means he loved the whole world, and he loved it enough to save it. And he went and followed through with what was necessary to get it accomplished. And now he offers it to you because it is complete, and it's done, and it's finished, and you can have it if you want it. But if you don't want him, he don't want you. The Bible says, condemnation. John chapter 3, verse 18 and 19 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. See the difference in the consequences? But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. It don't get no simpler than that. A consequence of sin for the unsaved is condemnation. If you're not going to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't you think how good he is, because when you meet him, he's not going to be good to you. What else? Well, a consequence of sin among the unsaved is guilt. Living a life of guilt. You can't be forgiven unless you have somebody that qualifies to be able to forgive you. What are you going to do with your sin? How are you going to get your sin nature taken care of? How are you going to get forgiven for what you are? Not what you've done, but what you are. How you going to get forgiven? And you walk around with guilt in your life. And a lot of people, and the psychiatrists, and the sociologists, and the thisanologists, and thatanologists, and all this sort of business, make up all kinds of stories and pathways and this and that and the other, and get pretty close, but deny the power thereof. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39, listen to this. Well, let me read you this one. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18 first. It says, the Lord is long-suffering and great in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Depending on how wicked you are, if you're unsaved, the Lord even visits your iniquity upon your children and your children's children and their children's children. Is that your kind Jesus? Jesus is kind, and he's beautiful, and he's a wonderful Savior to serve. He is the Savior to serve. In Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39, the Bible says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. You couldn't get to heaven by the Ten Commandments, because it was the Ten Commandments, and not only just the Ten, but God's law, the whole Old Testament, wherever you violated and transgressed against God and his law in the Old Testament, you are guilty. Does that include you? It does me. But it said before that, be it known unto you, I'm telling you, I'm announcing it to you, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. You want to be forgiven? You want to get rid of your guilt? You want to stop feeling guilty about your sin? You want it taken care of? I mean, we should feel bad about it when we sin. But it's a whole different story with the saved and the unsaved, and we'll get into that. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. If you believe on Jesus Christ the Lord, he forgives you and justifies you before the Father over all things. No matter what you have done, you are forgiven and your sins are taken away. There's a difference in your sins being forgiven and your sins being redeemed and taken away. We'll get into that on another study. God, the Lord is so good to have left us with all this stuff to teach us about him. And the Lord is so smart. He's the only one that could figure out how to do this about saving mankind from his sin. He's the only one that could have done this and figured this plan out. The only one. If man could have come even close to figuring it out, he'd have put it up for sale. You'd had to buy salvation from man, and you do. But the Lord, he tricked us. He gives it away. Ain't he beautiful? What are you going to do about your guilt? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a promise to a saved person that is in the body of Christ, that when they sin, they can go to the Lord daily, second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year, until they are with the Lord physically, can go to the Lord and confess their sins and have them forgiven immediately, and every sin that they've committed that they don't know about, they get a complete cleansing at that time and start over. Has nothing to do with going to heaven or hell. It has to do with walking before the Lord sanctified and clean. But the guilt that an unsaved person has can't be shed. You can't get rid of it. Because you're a sinner. And everybody you know is a sinner. Now you can go down there and get in one of them little closets and tell somebody all your deepest, darkest secrets that you've committed, and them on the other side laughing or throwing up because of what you're saying, and then they charge you a fee, and then you can walk out and pretend you're okay. But that's not what the Bible teaches. God says you're under the wrath of God, and God's going to hold you accountable, and you're going to be guilty for your sin until you die, and then when you die, you're going to give account for it, and you're going to make payment for it. Now, that's just what the Bible says. What else? Well, consequences of sin among the unsaved. Guilt, and the next one is perdition. Perdition. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 and 28, the Bible says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God." Unsaved people know that they're going to hell. That they're going to get their rewards from the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." I mean, an unsaved person, a consequence for an unsaved person, a consequence of sin. Now, we're talking about sin. Sin is the thing we're talking about. A consequence of sin among the unsaved is perdition. They suffer utter loss of their soul and final happiness in the future, and have future misery and eternal death. Entire loss, ruin. That's a consequence. Man, if we ain't read enough already, that would cause somebody to turn. Somebody will be saying, hold on, let's stop right. Can I accept Jesus? I mean, there's enough already that should have. If you think right, if your marbles ain't scrambled, I mean, if you're a average thinking person, which most people ain't no more, but I mean, if you can think and you can reason, any child could have already figured out, man, if I got all this going against me and Jesus can save me from that, let's stop and get this thing took care of. What else? Talking about sin. This sin is a terrible thing. I mean, it costs a lot. Consequences of sin among the unsaved. It's not only perdition, but shame. Sin brings shame. There's a lot of unsaved people that are just out there putting on a big theatrical show about how wicked they are and getting up on floats and parades and all sorts of business, just bragging about their sin and bragging and bragging and bragging. But if they could talk to some of those rock stars that taught them all that nastiness and filth, and talk to some of their buddies that died with diseases and things like that, could just give them 5 seconds to look where they're at and what they're having to put up with and where they ended up, they'd change their minds. It would shock them back into sobriety. All these people talking about dying and going to hell and coming back, that's not so. Nobody comes back. And if anybody ever seen hell and came back, they'd be in a nut house. Because you can't. Nobody can see hell. That's why the Lord don't let He don't let people see hell until they get there. He told you about it in one chapter, Luke chapter 16, and told you all about he wanted you to know about hell, and some in Isaiah. But the Lord is trying to talk you out of going there. He didn't make that place for you. He wants you not to go there, but he's giving you a choice. And any person in their right mind, even if they didn't know anything about God, and I didn't, and you didn't, would still accept it. And it don't even cost you nothing. And you say, well, God still shouldn't send people to hell? After all he's made every single possible way for you to get it and keep it. Shame. A consequence of sin for the unsaved is to live a life of shame. And then if you told the truth, brothers and sisters that are born again, even living in a saved predicament that we are, we have flashbacks of things that come in our mind of our past, like Paul said, of that ye are now ashamed. I think of some stuff that I've done, man, and the things the Lord saved me out of, and it's a shame. If you're sitting in church one day and the Lord just all of a sudden stopped everything, said, okay, tonight we're going to have a run in the past of Thurman's life, and it's going to be up here on this screen that they're putting up in churches now. And all that stuff, and we're going to play a movie of Thurman's life. You don't think you'd be walking out there with your tail between your legs or trying to get out the doors? even being saved and among the body of Christ and your brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't want them knowing about any of that mess, because that's what it is, mess. It's shameful. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, listen to this, in verse 20 and 21, "For when we were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?" I mean, all the things that you done that were shameful and the life that you lived then, what did it produce? It said, "For the end of those things is death." That's where we was headed when the Lord pulled us out. Aren't you thankful? Bless His wonderful name. He's done more than we know. And when we get there and see Him, man, oh boy, oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy. We have the victory. We have the victory. But the consequences of sin for the unsaved is not that way. It's shameful. And the unsaved have to live with shame, because no matter how they try to cover it up and act and color it and make all sorts of different colors and put letters behind, you know, L, B, C, D, E, F, G, and all that kind of stuff, and name yourself and get rid of pronouns and blabbity, blabbity, blah. These are grown-ups, man. Grown-ups. And do all this business and still doesn't get rid of the shame. What else? A consequence of sin for the unsaved is remorse. Remorse. And that's eternal remorse. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, Matthew chapter 11 verse 20 through 24 says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities." You mean good old, kind, loving Jesus was upbraiding somebody? Yeah. "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Remorse. Having a chance. Having another chance. Having another chance. Getting another chance. Getting another chance. Time's up. Well, wait a minute. No, put your hands behind your back. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Oh, by the way, that's literal, too. The Bible says, "Shall be bound hand and feet and cast in the lake of fire." 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death." There's two different kinds of sorrow. There's godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow makes you sorry enough that you'll repent and not be sorry that you repented. Worldly sorrow works death, the Bible says. Remorse is a consequence of sin among the unsaved. What else? Punishment. Consequence of sin for the unsaved is that you're going to be punished. And the Lord's not talking about a slap on the wrist or a reprimand or put you on suspension for 3 days or He's talking about some eternal punishment. The world's gotten rid of that word or getting rid of it, punishment. They don't like that word. It's not in their vocabulary like being fat. Instead of fat, you're gravitationally challenged. You know, just something to make you feel a little better. Not stir up anything that would make you feel sorry about something. Or that it's going to cost you. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." Everlasting punishment. I remember when I used to get whoopings when I was a boy, and I couldn't wait for that whooping to quit. But this says everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 20 and 21 say, "They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered." You're going to get it. I mean, when we was kids, we all standing around, little kids, that's back in the 70s, though. That's about the 60s and 70s. That's when you didn't have to worry about people coming in your neighborhood and raping little girls and stuff like that and perverts coming down through the neighborhood and having to lock your doors and all that kind of mess. Everybody just kind of ran around in the neighborhood and everybody loved everybody. Everybody just kind of, and people didn't love everybody, but we respected everybody. And you talk to the neighbor the wrong way, you get slapped in the mouth, and then he'd call your mom and dad and tell them that he slapped you in the mouth for saying that. And then you get home, you get a whooping for it, for misbehaving at the neighbor's house. I mean, this is the way it was done, and it worked. But all the kids be standing around, and everybody be standing around just talking, stuff like that, and then one of the kids there say something like, "Oh, God," or take God's name in the wrong way or something like that, and everybody go, "Oh, God gonna get you. God gonna get you." Did you hear that? Circumstance or consequences for sin for an unsaved person? God's gonna get you. Punishment. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter, I just said that. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, listen to this. "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." I mean, God was kind enough to go ahead and just lay it out there. He didn't beat around the bush. He said, "This is what's going to happen. This is the way it's going to happen. And this is why it's going to happen. Here's the way out." Consequences of the unsaved. Consequences of sin for the unsaved. Just a few more here and we'll stop. I mean, it's bad enough already, ain't it? If somebody could go through all of this and agree with it, or even not agree with it, and not get saved. And then you wonder why the Lord just says, "Bind him hand and feet. I never knew you. Cast him in the lake burnished with fire and brimstone. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." You can't understand why the Lord just says, "Go ahead and do it. Get rid of them. Kill them all. Put them in the..." I've been reading in Joshua, and they're going through conquering the land and stuff like that, and the Lord said, "When you take the city, kill them all. Kill them all." And you don't think eternal punishment's going to be bad? Another one is suicide. Suicide is something that not many years ago, 50 years ago in the 60s and 70s, you never heard anything about suicide. It wasn't even on your mind or in your vocabulary. When I was a boy, there was a woman that committed suicide. We never knew her, but she committed suicide that was in the neighborhood. And everybody just run around. Everybody knew everybody, even if you just walked up and down the street. And these were times where you didn't have weight on your shoulder. You didn't have societal weights on your shoulder and heaviness in the air in society like you do today. But somebody committed suicide. You know what the first thought was? What? Man, she must have been crazy. Nobody commits suicide. Nobody thinks about killing themselves. Why, that's common stuff nowadays. Is ingrained in society so much nowadays that the youngest one that's done it so far, where it's written down on her death certificate as a suicide, is a young little girl named Samantha, 5 years old, went in her bedroom, put a belt around her neck and jumped off the top bunk and hung herself and killed herself and done it on purpose because she is mad at her mommy for sending her to her room. And all due respect to that family, if you happen to hear this, what a sad, terrible thing. 5 years old. Now, where does a five-year-old live in a society and look around them, a little girl, when she ought to be running around playing with dollies and her little girlfriends and got her hairs in little ponytails and just as cute as can be in little girly ways and just as precious and pure? But these little girls nowadays, they walk around and they look around them and they see what's going on and they say, man, ain't no reason for me to be here. And they hear about this thing called suicide. And they say, that's for me. What can you say good about a society that a five-year-old doesn't see anything to live for? Suicide is a consequence of sin to the unsaved. And to the saved, some. They say people commit suicide. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3, the Bible says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Your filthiness and your perverseness and your sin will drive you to destroy yourself. And if you told the truth, just like I tell the truth about the matter, if the Lord hadn't saved me, I was in the process of taking myself out. Wouldn't you? I would have destroyed me. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22 says, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Consequences of sin among the unsaved is suicide. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 12 says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Take yourself out. I mean, the Bible's not foreign or upset or hurts the Bible's feelings about this matter of suicide. God says sin will drive you to kill yourself. If you're a Christ rejecter, especially. And going along with all this other stuff, punishment, remorse, shame, perdition, guilt, condemnation, losing your soul, death, irreconcilable, can't get back to God, servitude and blindness, and all this on your shoulders? What else? Eternal fire is a consequence of sin among the unsaved. Jude verse 5 through 7 says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, Now that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that not believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment of that of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, such suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The Lord showed us Sodom and Gomorrah and the consequences to that place and their behavior as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God's going to pay you back. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved by the same word." Do you hear that? "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word." What word? The word that we're talking about right now. God's word. "By the same word are kept in store." Kept in store for what? "Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." That's what you got to look forward to if you're ungodly and you sin. Consequences is eternal fire. And finally, the last one is hell, which is eternal fire. But the people in hell, it only gets worse. You live a life with all of this garbage that we just got through talking about, misery, heaviness, pressing down on you your entire life. You die. You go to hell. And then you are cast into the lake of fire. But hell is a consequence of sin. For the unsaved, not for the saved. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 9. "Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Okay, that goes to show you that when you're studying, you need to watch what you're doing, because that wasn't the right verse. Matthew chapter 18, verse 9. I'm glad you showed that to me. Thank you. "And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." You wonder who coined that word hell fire? All them rock bands love to use, and it's so cool and everything. That was Jesus Christ that said that, hell fire. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14. "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it." That's Bible. That's God's word. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9. "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations." I don't know why anybody wouldn't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, but that's a horrible thing, sin. And see what sin does? I mean, there's nothing good to say about it, is there? Look what sin does for unsaved people. That was the circumstances we were under before Jesus saved us. And if you're not saved, that's the circumstances that you're under right now. And the consequences of your sin is blindness, servitude, not being able to be reconciled with the Lord, death, losing your soul, condemnation, guilt, perdition, shame, remorse, punishment, suicide, eternal fire, and end up in hell. You don't have to have that happen to you. You can make all that go away by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and trusting Him to keep that from happening to you and keep you alive and bring you home with Him. Now that's what Jesus says. You can believe Him or not believe Him. He'll take you if you'll take Him. Amen. All right, enough said. That's our study for today, brothers and sisters. Let me give you these scriptures, okay? And we've been over quite a few today, but I love it when we go over a lot of scripture, don't you? All right, we're talking about the consequences, and that's the only category that we've been in concerning sin today. Consequences of sin among the unsaved. The first scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. John chapter 8, verse 34. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. John chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. Romans chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 through 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12. Jude, verse 5 through 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Matthew chapter 18, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 5, verse... Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. And Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9. And there's our scriptures for today. For our study of sin, I'm glad that we're finding these things out, aren't you? And I'm glad that it's from God's Word that we're learning it, aren't you? I mean, these are things that we need to know. It keeps us reminded to stay humble. And don't think that it doesn't do any good to fight it, because it does. It shows you how, it builds backbone and builds character. Shows you how weak you really are and makes you lean on the Lord more. It keeps you humble. Don't say it don't matter and it don't do any good. It does. It does. Okay? So we're going to stop right there. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining in. Been a little bit long today, but that's all right. That was quite a bit of scripture and quite a bit of truth. I'll talk to you on the next one. We'll talk about God's attitude towards sin. What does the Bible say? What has God written to us to let us know what He thinks about sin? And we'll just look into the scriptures and we'll know exactly what the Lord thinks about it. Not what people say and not this, that, and the other, but what God says. Amen? I love you with Christ's love. Don't you quit. Don't you ever, ever quit. Keep your standards up. If you keep the standards high, you'll always be better off than when you lower them. It's Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.